Comic Timing
is a proud member
of the Comics Podcast Network.
Bitch.
Print it.
Welcome to episode 123.5 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as Brent Casita, rotating panel of guests, and myself, Ian Levesey, discuss whatever comes to mind time after time here on Comic Timing. This one's shorter than the regular episode, so we go to 0.5 here as Sean Whalen from Raging Bullets joins in as we interview Adam Withers and Comfort Love of Uniques, Uniques Tales, and Rainbow in the Dark as they are up for Harvey and need some plugging. Here now, Comic Timing.
Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 123.5 of Comic Timing. Won't call it a full episode, because it's probably only about a half hour, 45 minutes, something like that. But we do have some special guests on this call. But first, I'll talk about the guy who's not special at all, Brent Casino. What's going on, Brent?
What's up?
You're not special. I'm sorry.
Not special.
No. Sean Whalen's not unique. Hi, Sean.
Hi. Brent, you're special to me.
Thank you, Sean.
Well, we're off to a great start here, aren't we? And the two that are unique and might even have some rainbows in their hair. I don't know what's going on lately. Mr. Adam Withers and Ms. Comfort Love of the Uniques Tales and Rainbow in the Dark. What's going on, guys?
Hi.
Oh, okay, guys. Good night. It's been fun.
We do wear flowers in our hair, but only when going to San Francisco.
Well, that's just required by law, isn't it?
By song, anyway.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Which is basically law.
No. Song law.
And this episode of Comic Timing, as always, is sponsored by DCBS, Discount Comic Book Service. Check them out at dcbservice.com. No picks yet, as the site has yet to be updated for August, as time just ran out on your July orders. However, I will give you guys the reminder on what were the picks for the month of July, just in case you're bringing in your orders late here. As I believe, since the site has not been updated yet, you can still put in late orders until July is out. On the DC side, we have gone with Justice League International as our pick, as this is the beginning of a brand new start here for DC Comics, and I like the idea of there being a JLI book again, so let's go with it. Written by Dan Jurgens, art by Aaron Lopresti and Matt Ryan, covered by Aaron Lopresti as well. This one's on sale on September 7th, and it's the return of the JLI to the DC Universe. Ultimate Comics Spider-Man number 1, written by Brian Michael Bendis and penciled by Sarah Pacelli, is our Marvel pick, as a brand new Spider-Man graces the Marvel Ultimate Universe, and we don't know anything about him yet. We don't know what color he's going to be. We don't know what size he's going to be. We don't know who anybody in his life is yet. So mysteries abound. All we know is that it ain't Peter Parker. Or is it? Who knows? And yet again, Bendis and Pacelli on this one, so it should be pretty good. And the indie pick is 27, second set, number 1. The second miniseries by Charles Soule in the 27 saga, Out of Image. And this one is 32 pages, also going to be released on September 7th. So we've got a pattern brewing here, and you should definitely add that to your order if you have not yet. And make sure to use the promo code CT8 when you do place an order with DCBS to get an additional 8% off on your first order with the site. DCBService.com. We thank them very much for their support, and look forward to the new previews showing up on the site probably the first month of first week of August sometime soon. DCBService.com.
So it's been kind of busy for you guys lately, huh? I mean, you're right in the thick of con season, and then you find out that you've been honored by your peers.
We have indeed. Yeah. It was really quite something. We were in LA for Anime Expo, which was the 10th convention in 12 weeks for us.
After Super Show, we didn't stop.
Yeah, God. And we get a call letting us know that we are now 2-time Harvey Award nominees for Most Promising New Talent for Rainbow in the Dark and Best Anthology for Unique Tales.
Woot!
I know!
Woot,
I'm still, it is still hard to believe, frankly.
Were you guys expecting it at all, or did it just completely take
not
you off guard?
Not even a little. Well, not even a little, you know?
We
I mean,
thought that, you know, we probably wouldn't get nominated, like, because of just who we are, you know, which is not a big name.
We're
like,
self-publishers.
Exactly.
And
we
the
don't
truth
work for
is,
our company.
Self-publishers have probably the lowest profile of anybody in comics. I can't imagine anybody with a lower profile than the self-publisher. And to be recognized by enough peers to have received 2 nominations for each of our projects this year was amazing. I mean, there's no way, I don't think it's possible to expect something like that to happen.
Yeah, well, and now that it has, you're up against some stiff competition. But I think it's just great for you guys to be even, you know, in the same category as guys like Nick Spencer.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. But there's an excitement to being the underdog as well. Sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, it's always my natural inclination to root for the underdog most anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's why we're Kyle Rayner fans.
Exactly. Yes. Right. Yes. That and because he's clearly the best.
Well, duh. I mean, yeah.
we're excited. You know, we always keep our, you know, hopes for anything at sort of a minimal level.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But, well, I feel like that scene in Tangled where Rapunzel is going back and forth between, this is the best day ever to earn the worst daughter in the world.
I don't know.
Back
why
and forth.
Teen Girl
She's
Squad.
Teen Girl Squad because all teen girls are Teen Girl Squad.
That and your go-to voice is obviously Teen Girl Squad.
It is always Teen Girl
It's reliable. Squad. It is reliable, yes. If it's not Skeletor, it's Teen Girl Squad.
Well, and not to short shrift the rest of the people that were nominated in the category of Most Promising, we got Barry Deutsch for Heroville, you two, Chris Somney for Thor the Mighty Avenger, Scott Snyder for American Vampire, and the aforementioned Nick Spencer for Morning Glories, and also Secret Avengers, and all the other things he's been doing this year, because he seems to be working for everybody.
Yeah.
Those names, particularly Spencer and Samney, have just been lighting things up for years now. So it's major. We are against major, major names. And it is nice to be in categories where you don't necessarily care who wins because everybody is doing work that I personally respect.
Right. Yeah. Well, Sean, you hadn't read Rainbow in the Dark before this. You hadn't read any of their stuff before I mentioned that you were going to be on this episode. So what's your take on it? What'd you think?
Well, no, I mean, we had talked about you coming on my show, and you had mentioned that you were doing this interview beforehand. And I said, well, let me check out their website. And you guys have this great digital offering on your site where you can download the episodes digitally. So, you know, I got the first 3-issue, you know, Rainbow in the Dark 3-issue storyline. I'm like, okay, I can get the complete arc on that. And I grabbed the first issue of the Uniques, and I figured I was going to read the first issue of Rainbow in the Dark and the Uniques for this just so I had some background into it. I could not put down Rainbow in the Dark. I got them all Sunday night. And I put them on my iPad, and I started reading Rainbow in the Dark number 1, figuring, okay, I'll go through this. It's fun. I'm like, okay, we've got this cool black and white indie comic going on. Then all of a sudden, this color, you know, starts taking into the story. And I started noticing, like, when her eyes changed as the storyline was continuing and stuff like that, I was totally glued to the main character, to the fact that she was, you know, part of this world that, like, they were kept almost, like, in this bubble. And realizing that what she thought was real life was not the case, I was glued to the whole thing. I finished all 3 issues Sunday night. This, and I'm talking about, like, I started reading this at 3 in the morning with the intention of, like, reading 1 to go to sleep.
Yeah.
And then I got so captivated into the story that I read the Uniques 1. I now own all the issues of the Uniques. I honestly haven't had a chance this week to go back and start finishing them.
Oh, don't
but
worry.
That's, I mean, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, the magic of PayPal. I went through. No, I mean, and I just mean that honestly, I really enjoyed it that much that I wanted the complete series. I've also read the first Uniques Tales issue now. I'm very into all this. I'm a new fan. This was super cool, and I really enjoyed the story. Like I said, the whole color switch, how it came a part of the story, because, you know, I noticed the flower when it was in color there, and her reaction to it. And I just love the way the story built and what was going on in her world with Rainbow in the Dark. And I love the unique the tragedy that happened with her family and how years later we got to see her grow. So, I mean, you guys have on your work have got a new fan. So,
thank you so much. We obviously like really, really try and make a very good product. And so, like, even though we're up against heavy, heavy hitters, we feel like our work honestly stands up next to their work, you know, not to hopefully toot our own horn too much.
We make comics because we love comics.
Exactly.
We love them to death. And when we started self-publishing, it was fully with the intent that we were going to make the comics that we have been waiting to read. Mm-hmm. And instead of waiting for somebody else to hit onto these ideas or start telling the stories in the way we were looking for them to be told, we did it ourselves.
Right.
You know, with Uniques, it's superheroes, but it's a chance to write teenagers that feel realistic, you know, that are like teenagers actually are. You know, it gets tiresome when you read teen books where everybody in them seems like they're 20 years old or 30 years old.
Right.
And there's nothing in them to tie them to their own age group. And we felt like people hold back a lot when it right. comes to teen books.
Well, and also with Rainbow, but Uniques, we really wanted to have a world that could grow and change instead of stay yes. constantly stagnant.
Yes. Every time you open a new issue of the Uniques, there's a date on it. We date stamp everything in the same way that Young Justice is now. But the reason we do it is because time is going to move mm-hmm. forward and these characters are going to grow up and things are not going to be the same. It's a book about growth and change. And, you know, instead of 10 years later, it's still the same characters, the same age, the same story.
Yeah.
Right. Well, when we moved on to we didn't move on to Rainbow in the Dark. We knew we wanted to do something different to show, you know, the comics world that we could do more than just superheroes.
Well, and there's more stories we want to tell
right.
than just the one that we can.
So we decided to make another story, and that other story was Rainbow in the Dark. And while Rainbow was going, we had Uniques Tales going. But Rainbow, we needed it to be a complete departure and something that instead of very long form, like Uniques will be about 100 issues, Rainbow is a set of 9 issues. And each 3-issue set is like one story unto itself.
Like one film in the trilogy.
Right. So what you read was book one.
Yeah.
That 3-issue set.
Issue 4 is coming out now, right?
Issue 4.
By the time this is posted, issue
yes.
4 will be out.
Yes. It releases Thursday, tomorrow.
Okay. Very cool. And that's just the beginning. That's basically, in some ways, issue 1, volume 2, if you want to put
right.
it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really is.
It is. And, you know, everything changes. One of the things with Rainbow is that the first 3-issue arc of Rainbow is the movie. It is the big, splashy, cinematic experience. But we wanted with Rainbow to go after that, to go past that.
Well,
to sort
you know,
of,
that first one is absolutely our new hope.
Right. And it wraps up where a movie would end. And we wanted to see what happens next. Because it's not just about, you know, fighting monsters and saving the day. It's a book about what does life mean? What is the nature of your reality? What is, you know, people working together to create a new world is not as simple as shooting the bad guy in the face mm-hmm. and, you know, surviving to
even,
the end. There's more
to it. Even the question of what is the nature of existence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So simple things.
I'm sure that in your New Hope, though, Chewbacca actually gets a medal.
Of course he does. That poor guy. They're just racist. That's all.
Racist against Wookiees.
Against Wookiees. They don't count. They're not people. They're 2/3 of a person.
Oh, God. Let's not get started. Brent, how much did you get a chance to read?
I got to read the first issue of both series today.
Okay.
And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really dug, honestly, I dug Rainbow in the Dark a lot more than Uniques because it was so not unique to put a pun on the word, but it was refreshing and new and something you have never seen before. It wasn't not to say that Uniques felt standard. I only read the first issue, but I mean, it was just something away from superheroes, which was a nice refresher.
Well,
and as always,
and
your art rocks.
Oh, thank you. The other thing with Rainbow and Uniques, and I think it's just a fascinating thing to read both, is that Uniques is our first issue, our first full issue that we ever wrote and ever fully drew
yeah.
completely. And so that's our first attempt at everything. And that rainbow is like what we learned from the entire experience of Uniques and then set forth in another book.
Yeah. You're, when you look at those two issues side by side, you're really seeing our growth 3 years apart or 2 years apart.
Right. Well, actually, and I'll go ahead and say this too, especially since you get all the issues for very cheap for the 99 cents. For Uniques itself, for that issue one, we are going to go back into Uniques in 2012 and redo the first few issues and make them better.
Huh.
Because we learned a whole lot from working on this series.
They won't be different. The story remains the same. Mm-hmm. But we feel like as part of our relaunch of Uniques, when we return to the series and continue the story, there's more we can do than what we have done.
Right, okay. And we can tell the story better than
it's going to be like a director's cut.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, as opposed to something like, say, like, you know, when they redid The Killing Joke and they, you know, recolored and basically, you know, changed the look and tone and feel of the whole thing. You guys are just going in and basically just, you know, adding in some things that might not have been there before and tweaking
editing
it's like the
things.
I like to compare it to the expanded edition of the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Gotcha.
Because it's more material that really was only left out because of time.
Mm-hmm.
And if we'd had the time then, we would have been doing, or, you know, and the skill, then we would have been doing this then. But once you see that extended cut that we're putting together, you won't be able to watch the regular anymore because it's just such a, it's going to be a much richer experience.
Right. And something that you'll see all those skills that we had going into Rainbow number one now getting put into Uniques number one.
Gotcha. Uniques is a very important series to us. It is, the characters are very important to us. The story is very important to us. And we want to make sure that this is as strong a series as is humanly possible to make.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Well, I think that's also great because in a way you'll also be, I guess, sort of like, I mean, I don't know if this is even the right way to put it, but sort of rewarding fans that have been a part of it from the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
By saying, yeah, hey, remember that? Because I think the main difference here between something like The Killing Joke and this is that it's not going to feel like short shrifting. It's going to be like, you know, you bought it once. Here's how it should have been to begin with. You know what I mean?
Well, and you're getting more material. You're not just getting the same issue with some slightly adjusted art or slightly adjusted dialogue. You're getting a lot of new material.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Now, Sean, I mean, as a teacher, I think you have a little bit more of a pulse on what the kids are into these days. Could you see the Uniques as something that that might be able to grab the interest of kids?
You know what I really liked about issue one in particular, and even honestly the issue one of Uniques Tales as well. But issue one was, you know, it was this great story about this family, and yeah, they have superpowers and all that. But I loved that the family dynamic felt real. The father and mother's relationship with the daughter, who is a part of the Uniques team, like there was this area where she was rebelling because as she was getting older, she started developing her own personality and her own belief system. And whether right or wrong, you know, even to this day as adults, we make mistakes still too from our own. But I loved seeing how, you know, there was friction there that felt natural to any family, whether you have superpowers or not. And that continued later in the issue to the two sisters and their relationship. And the fact that events in family lives can lead to resentment and things like that, and how do you deal with that? And I really loved that aspect of them, that all the way through I got this feeling like these were real people. And that's what captivated me to all of your stories, actually. I think this is true of Rainbow in the Dark as well, was the fact that they felt like real people. At no point in time did they feel flat to me. They felt like they were fleshed out, well-rounded, and I really enjoyed the characters, and I cared about them by the time I was done.
Well, that's when we go into our books, and I think this will be true of everything we write.
Right.
The core thing that is the driving force of our writing is the relationships and the friendships of the characters that we write. It is driven, our stories are driven by character and by the interactions of those characters and the relationships of those characters. That is the central axis on which our worlds spin.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to say that Rainbow is like, whereas Uniques, I think, is made for an age group like a 16 and above to read, I think we made Rainbow a set of stories that anybody can read from any walk of life in any age.
Yeah, we wanted to take sort of a Pixar approach, because we've been saying this for a while, that comics need to look at what Pixar does, because they're able to make films that are absolutely enchanting to children, obviously.
Right.
They work for every adult in that audience just as much. And why aren't more comics like that? And when we went into Rainbow, that was one of our guiding theorems, is we need to make a Pixar comic.
Right. A PG, easily.
Right.
A PG,
right.
Pixar.
And there are things about it that might seem edgy, but really, this is something that anybody can pick up and read and enjoy, I think. That was our hope.
Right. And keeping Donna's original story, like, interesting but still general, that anyone can feel like they've gone through that, hopefully grabs anybody again from any walk of life. Mm-hmm. And brings them into the story. So it doesn't feel like, you know, I have to now dive into a world of superheroes or something else that I might not be a part of. That world that is Rainbow in the Dark is a part of everyone's world.
Yeah.
Kids don't want dumbed down material either. Kids don't like being talked down to. And as far as, you know, Ian, you asked the question before, would this be something, you know, would this material be stuff that kids would pick up? You know, kids look for characters that they love and they care about. You know, and like you said, the Pixar approach is perfect for that. And it does work for everybody. So, yeah, I do think this is material that anybody would enjoy. Because, like I said, I was glued.
just as long as you don't do Cars 2, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Haven't seen it. Don't know.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen it either, but I have no interest in seeing it. So there's also that going for it. Now, Brent, I know, like, getting you to read a manga is like trying to get a horse to eat another horse. But Adam Comfort, go for more of a, I guess, sort of like an in-between, you know, American comics and Japanese comic feel. But you didn't feel like it was too manga, right?
I didn't feel it was manga at all, so
good.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
But we do sort of aim in between. That's why we work so well at an anime show, because our stuff isn't clearly one or the other. It's, again, for everybody, and it's picking up on those things that we've learned from both genres.
The thing is, and this frequently frustrates me when I see it in other comics, is that when most people say, how are we going to reach the manga audience, what they do is they look at the most simple surface things, and they say, well, that's why they read this manga. We'll just copy that.
Right.
And so they do the art style, or they do the chibi thing, or they do like just the silly kind of surface stuff. But that's not what makes people like manga. That's not what gets people into manga. I think that the books we're writing incorporate a lot of the storytelling aspects and the deeper levels of what makes manga connect with that audience. Mm-hmm. It's in our work. Now, it doesn't have the same artistic style exactly. Mm-hmm. We have a very animated style, but it doesn't look like Japanese animation.
Well,
but that's not... point.
Right.
That's
I would say really fast that our style, for people who haven't seen, our style is like animated realism. It's got the movement of animation, but it's got the structure of realism.
Right. Yeah. And I actually kind of really like that about it, that the characters feel real enough where it doesn't feel like they're, you know, standing there as cardboard cutouts. But there's also a little bit of that fluidity that you find in something like, say, for example, like a Young Justice animated series or Tim style or something like that, where something's constantly moving even when it's standing still.
We actually, when the Young Justice series premiered on TV, we started getting bombarded with messages from people saying, oh, my God, Young Justice is like Uniques in cartoon form.
I think even Ian might have been one of the people, or Chris was.
Yeah.
No,
holy cow, Robin is Scout.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, I did actually feel that a little bit. However, there are still things about Young Justice that I would like to see improve. Well, for one thing, I'd sort of like to see it back on the schedule. That would be a good thing.
That's one nice thing, yeah, yeah.
We're supposedly going to get more information about that at San Diego Comic-Con, but I think it's the type of thing where if you stay out of kids' minds long enough, they're going to completely forget you freaking exist.
Although we were just at Anime Expo, and again, we do a lot of anime shows as well as American shows, hence the, 10 shows in 12 weeks.
Right.
But these kids loved Young Justice, and they come up and they talk to us about how awesome that show was and how amazing it was. And then here's the saddest thing. Is they're like, and then I tried reading DC Comics, and it sucked.
Yeah, well, they know the characters, they love the characters, they can't stand the comics.
That's a little bit foreboding there.
Yeah, well, and it speaks to who's writing for them.
Well, I ask you this: tell me where in mainstream DC Comics you can
get in their little teeny kid line. Mm-hmm.
Where in mainstream DC Comics can you get an experience like the Young Justice show?
Batgirl.
If you can dig deep and find Batgirl, you can connect with that book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No.
But Batgirl is not the name on the tip of people's tongues. I don't know why they don't push. Well, they don't reach for that audience. Yeah.
They've got a huge pool of people ready to read their book. But as far as I can tell, they just ignore them. Now, it helps us because all those kids who want to read a Young Justice comic book and weren't able to find something picked up Uniques mm-hmm. when we were at Anime Expo. But still, it's upsetting.
Well, I have faith in Scott Lobdell, so maybe this Teen Titans book will be exactly what people were hoping for. Yes, I see your sigh there on the Skype, Brent.
Yeah, the problem is they're wearing those costumes.
Yeah. Maybe they go to a tailor in issue two.
I just want to say it's too bad they don't give awards for most on where comics should be going opinion or whatever.
Yeah, well, it's like they say, an opinion's like an asshole. Everybody's got one, but not everybody wants to see yours.
Oh, ouch. And that's absolutely true.
It's the truth.
Well,
whether it's right or wrong.
I know, man. I know. I mean, with the DC relaunch, hopefully there's going to be more books to captivate people. But if not, hey, more for you.
You know, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen? We're just going to keep making comics that we enjoy.
Right. Just doing the best damn work that we possibly can and keep plugging along.
And doing the best we can to get them out where an audience can find them.
Yeah.
For the last years. And we just do it.
And that's part of the, so many conventions experience is that you're going right to the people.
Yeah, well, it's like when a politician is starting out of nowhere, they keep talking about the grassroots support. That's what this is. The only way to build that support, or one of the best ways anyway, is to just pound the streets and shake hands and meet people face to face. With everything becoming as digital and distant and disconnected as it is with the internet, when you meet somebody face to face, there's no replacement for that. That is a much deeper connection and a much more immediate and powerful connection than just, tripping over something on Facebook or Tumblr or DeviantArt or whatever.
Yeah. And I don't know how you guys do it, because I'm sure both Brent and Sean and I would agree that if I tried to do 10 conventions in a 12-week span, I'd come back without a head.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it feels. That's more or less how it feels.
But they're there to make money. We're there to spend money.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true. Yes. Yes, you do have a point.
The convention floor is our office, man.
I actually have a question. You, as a self-publisher, for me, having all the issues digitally on your site like that was really convenient. It led me, like I said, I read those four issues, liked them so much that I immediately went back and was able to get all of them immediately. Are you noticing a positive digital trend is paper still more the bread and butter? How is that for us?
Digital easily outstrips all other sales for us. We've been doing digital from the beginning. When we launched in 2008, we launched with 99-cent digital copies and paper copies on demand.
Well, and people told us we were crazy for having digital stuff.
We sat down to dinner with some other industry folk.
Big industry folk, mind you.
We were talking to them about digital paper and tablet readers, and that they were coming very soon, and that was going to completely revolutionize the way people read comics. Because people were already doing piracy by the boatload at that point. But they couldn't quite grasp it. You know, they kept saying the same thing that you've probably heard or maybe said yourselves. But I like to hold it in my hands. I like the smell of the paper. I like the experience of the bookstore.
It reminds me of being a kid, all these kinds of things.
But the thing is, the new audience, anybody even 26 and younger, they don't have that nostalgia factor for old paper the way that we do. Mm-hmm. It is different for them. People, yes, especially 20 and younger, they have grown up digitally consuming their media. They get their TV online, their music online, their videos online, and their books online.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was okay with my Glade plugin while I was reading.
Brent, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to piggyback off what Adam is saying, is that the getting the ability to read Planetary for $25 in a digital format at, you know, all at one time on Comixology, I immediately took advantage of that.
Yeah,
immediately, because getting that's less than a dollar per issue, because all 27 issues, and finding those at conventions is probably really prohibitive because they're so popular and the low print runs.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, any omnibus or trade would cost you more than that to get all however many there are.
Yeah, because the absolute's like, what, $50?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing you need to consider, is that if we are also talking about trying to get the new audience or trying to get people even in their 20s, when people are making so much less money now than they were 10, 15, 20 years ago, when kids have like no money of their own, the disposable income has reduced dramatically. The amount that you can afford to spend on side crap in your life is much smaller than it used to be, and the cost of living is much higher than it used to be. So if you are somebody who is selling reasonably priced digital material, then you are allowing an audience to have an easier time spending their money on you. And that's a no-brainer. I don't see why people don't seem to understand that. I can understand.
Well, or that it took so long.
That it took so long. I mean, it's like music. Music saw the writing on the wall, and instead of jumping on the bandwagon, they tried to fight against what was happening.
Yeah.
And because they spent so many years fighting it, it took a lot longer for things to really to build up the infrastructure that now exists. And they're still suffering and still struggling because they're still trying to use the old market system in a new market economy.
Well, and you've also got a reality that, you know, in music, when pirating started happening, it hurt the big guys, but it helped the smaller guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this it does make me wonder just how much digital sales are going to boost for DC now that they're going day and date. I'm sure Marvel is going to follow suit soon enough if this winds up working, because right now I think it's like what was the last figure? I think it was something like 364-1 or something like that, print versus digital for DC. Yeah. But I think that's going to change a lot with day and date, because if you can get it on the day of and read it on your device, as opposed to being, you know, overrun with comic books like I am, that I think people are going to wind up choosing that option a hell of a lot more.
I don't know that it will. It will help it some, but it's not going to be a revolution, because they're charging the same for digital as they do for print, and that is madness.
Now, if they were charging 99 cents,
or even $1.99,
because it goes down to $1.99 after a month, I think.
Yeah, but by then it's too late.
Right.
By then it's too late.
Yeah.
The problem is nobody right now is used to paying so much money for so little content digitally.
Mm-hmm.
When you pay $3 or $4 for something digitally, you get something fairly major, especially you're fighting video game culture. Yeah. And you can get download add-ons for games that add substantial gameplay for $5 or less.
Yep.
But what are you getting for 20 pages of a DC book? You're going to pay $3 or $4? Forget it. Nobody's going to do that.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to be very, very hard to do. I would hope that they bring their prices down. And the other thing that you are fighting, and people I know don't like talking about this, but you're fighting the ease of pirating.
Yeah.
Pirating is a very, very easy thing to do. And that's why, and all kids know how to do it. Lots of adults know how to do it. We have a friend who, you know, it's like, you know, I have this on my, you know, DVR, and I want to watch it, but I don't want to go to the living room. So I just pirated it. I watched it on my computer.
It is literally easier and faster to download it online than it is to get up, go in the living room, and watch it right there.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, that could be said for people that don't want to wait the month for Torchwood to show up on Stars.
Yeah, also true.
Because, I mean, you know, Netflix streaming will offer it a month later, but you got to wait that month. So people are just going to go straight there. I mean, in my, I already had cable, so I just pointed up the extra $9.99 to get Showtime and Stars for a few months.
Yep.
But you know, most people aren't going to do that.
Yeah.
No, or most people don't have the money, and that's another reality. They just don't.
They don't have it available.
No,
and
no.
Even if they did have the money, they look at a value system. And the value you're getting for your dollar paying the same price as paper, it's just not there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right now, I feel like too much of the industry is a guy standing on the beach shaking his fist at a wave coming in. And if you just stand there, the wave's going to hit and you're going to drown. You can try and swim with it and hope for the best, or you can try and figure out a way to build yourself a board that you can ride and surf that wave all the way to glory.
Hey, you kids, get off my compost heap.
I do think one of the big problems in comics right now is the same audience keeps being targeted. I mean, it's trying to shift because the honest problem, why are they keeping it at $2.99? Well, they don't want to. I look at the uproar through a lot of the retail partners on day and date digital. So I understand. I guess playing devil's advocate, I can see that side of it. The problem is, in my personal opinion on digital is you shouldn't, if you're a big publisher like that, you shouldn't be targeting us, meaning, you know, the traditional comic fans, with digital initiative. We're already buying your books. You don't need to target us. You really should be targeting the people who aren't currently reading, who potentially could. Your video game audience is I'm a firm believer. Any kid that's playing Mass Effect and, you know, any of these role-playing games that are really basically extended serialized storytelling with downloadable add-ins that extend that serialized storytelling, which would be side stories like these events have, they're your target audience for comics. And I would love to see the digital initiative targeting them and not us, which I don't feel.
The way I put it is, traditional comic readers are a bunch of crackheads. They're going to buy your product no matter what. Mm-hmm. If they love it, they buy it. If they hate it, they buy more of it. You're not worrying about them. You know, how many people shook their fist in the air and bitched up a storm about Brand New Day and Spider-Man? But how many of those people were there every Wednesday to buy the new installment? Because they're a bunch of crackheads. And a crack dealer does not have to worry about whether the addicts are going to show up on the corner.
Hey,
they will.
Hey, Brent, he's talking about Chad. Stop buying Doom Patrol, Chad. But I can't.
Exactly. Because they're addicts. You don't worry about the old addicts. You worry about hooking new addicts.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, again, this is why us and several other people out there who are making other kind of indie type books that are really high quality are trying to capitalize on that audience that regular American comics just aren't.
Yeah, we have the mobility because we are just dealing with ourselves. We don't have a large infrastructure we have to support. So we have a little bit more of the ability to stick and move and try and chase new things as they come along, or try to anticipate, if we're lucky,
what new things are
around the corner.
Always trying to look down the line and say, what's coming around the corner? And never being able to totally prepare for it, but being aware of it and trying to dance and trying to move with it. Like Adam said, riding that wave.
And if memory serves, Unique's Tales was digital first, correct?
Unique's Tales, not only digital first, but every story of Unique's Tales is available for free on the website.
Well, if I can quick tell a story. So there's a little show, and it's called Hitalia. That's an anime thing. It's very, very popular. And it is little five-minute
online episodes.
And kids love them because they're bite-sized, and they can just go there, read it, enjoy, and be done.
It's the same as the web strip concept, you know. You've got a page or two pages a week, or you get a small four-panel strip every day. It's small, digestible chunks available for free in a regular, regular allotment, regularly released.
And so the question was, you know, could we do that, especially while we were taking on Rainbow in the Dark and having to pause Unique, and put that into a format that works for us, but also then works for that new audience? And that's how Unique's Tales
was something we'd wanted to do from the beginning. It had always been like the partner to the Unique's main story.
Right.
Because we're building, like we said, a world. It's not just about the seven main characters. It's about the world that they inhabit. And there's an awful lot else going on in that world at the same time that helps build that structure. I remember when I started reading, Justice League as a kid and Green Lantern as a kid. And every time you'd get an issue, every now and then there would be these pieces of something going on where you felt like, wow, there's a lot else in this world besides what's just in this book. And that was exciting. You felt like it was something bigger that you were becoming a part of. And we wanted that feeling. And Unique's Tales is a way to examine these other stories and tell these other stories. And while we're doing Rainbow, we don't have the time to do two comics at once. Right. It's just a terrible strain on our wrists.
And those wrists are your gold. You can't go without those wrists.
They're our bread and our butter. I call Lefty bread and Righty is butter, naturally.
Bread and butter.
So, I rub them together and I get a sandwich. So when we started Rainbow, like you were saying before, in fact, and a very good point, when it's in this day and age, if you disappear from the public consciousness, you are gone.
Yeah.
If people can't find you regularly, they don't just forget you were there. They forget you ever existed. And self-publishers and independent press suffer from that more than probably anybody. So in order to maintain an awareness of Uniques, Uniques Tales was a way of keeping those stories out there, having other people come in telling other stories.
Amazing people, by the way.
Oh, the talent we got. I mean, I really do feel like we earned that nomination because, man, I was so amazed at the work that
we were
produced
floored by how people did.
Yeah,
they came in, they told other stories in our universe, they're building up the history of the Uniques universe. Each one works on its own, but they all work together to tell this one story. And it's all free, and it came out monthly, and it allowed constant hits. That is the way to do it. That is the way.
Well, you want to run through real quick who was involved with you on that?
Oh, gracious.
There's too many.
There's
people
a lot of names.
Say.
There's some names you know. There's a lot of names you don't, but you should know.
35 other creators.
Oh my God! Wow!
You can't
not
say everyone.
Well, then we sit here for a half hour if you name them all. So just do some of the perhaps some of the ones that people would be more familiar with.
Brian
Dale
Glass
of Mice Templar, Harvey and Award winner himself, wrote one of our stories.
Also wrote Thor First Thunder.
Jeremy Dale, excellent artist, fantastic artist, contributed one of my favorite pieces on the book.
Yep, worked on G.I. Joe.
Yep,
and,
currently producing
Skyward,
which looks spectacular.
Yes. Laura
Innes of The Dreamer fame.
Which is an amazing book.
Yeah, the thing about the collection is that everybody on this book is somebody that people should know.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are well-known, some of them are lesser known, some of them are completely unknown. And
some of them they'll hopefully know after reading it.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Well,
and we have links to everybody from any page. You can follow that link to who those creators are and what they're doing. And their work is well worth following. We brought them on board because we're fans.
Very good.
And we hope that the people who like our work become fans of them, too, because they totally deserve it.
Right.
And the rest of the anthology is up for Best Anthology, just to give everybody their fair share here. Blab World number 1 by Monty, I believe it's Beauchamp, and Bill North from Last Gasp. CBGB by Kieran Gillen, who you probably have heard of, and Sam Humphries of Boom Studios. Pop Gun number 4, edited by DJ Kirkbride. Anthony Wu and Adam P. Nave of Image. Reading with Pictures by Josh Elder, executive editor and Reading with Pictures. Strange Tales Volume 2, Number 1, edited by Jody Lehu and Marvel Comics. And, of course, Uniques Tales. Tanya, is it Eby?
No.
That was the misprint.
That was the misprint. That's what I thought. Yeah. Yeah, because I'm like, who the hell are these people?
No.
Tanya and Millette were two contributors.
Gotcha.
Did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was neat. They got
so it's such a good job that they get all the credit.
They got it.
Yeah. I think what they did is they were like, oh, great. It's, nominated.
Yeah.
And then they went onto the site and clicked on one story.
Picked one of the stories and grabbed the people and. Yeah,
that was it.
It has since been corrected for ballots.
Well, it's been corrected for ballots.
IGN just hasn't corrected it.
Right.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Exactly. So if you go to the website, the Harvey Award website, and you get your ballot, it will say our names, Comfort Love and Adam Withers, instead of Tiny Eby and Millette.
Even though they're very nice.
Yes.
And when are the ballots due, anyway?
The ballots are due June 6th.
August 6th.
Or, excuse me, yes, what am I saying? August 6th.
I was about to say, they were due in the past.
Well,
and
step one, download the ballot. Step two, get your DeLorean up to 88 miles per hour. And next thing you know, you're making out with your mother and delivering a ballot on time.
That's right.
Fry is his own grandpa.
Good news, everybody.
Since we've got to wrap this up because we got to keep on gaming here and keep doing our nerdy stuff, we paused the nerdy game to do this interview.
Nice.
Entering the dork forest.
If anyone out there is listening and you work on comics as well, we would hope that you consider us for Best New Talent and what is it, Rainbow?
Best Anthology. And for
Best Anthology.
And,
but the other guys...
You definitely should. Yeah, no, don't toot your own horn. We can do that for you. Most promising new talent and Best Anthology they're up for. Sean, any final thoughts?
No, I loved it. Like I said, as we were chatting here, I was browsing the Unique Tales, and you guys actually jumped back in for issue 9 of Unique Tales.
The ninth story of Unique Tales picks up after the ninth issue of the Unique story.
Very good.
It is a continuation of that story with those characters.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm a new fan, and very, very cool.
And Brent, final thoughts?
Vote.
He's actually a new Pokemon, and he's called Vote, so that the only words he can say is vote.
That explains.
And if you want to check out any of our stuff online, you can go to uniquescomic.com.
Or rainbowinthedarkcomic.com.
Fantastic, and there's links to both on both.
Yes,
and first issues are free on both sites. Unique Tales is completely free. There's a lot for you to peruse before making any decisions about the rest of our series.
Right, and paying us 99 cents.
Awesome.
Hey, it's like an iTunes song.
Like magic.
You can read it.
Fantastic. And real quick, because I know you guys have got to run, you'll be at Otakon, Baltimore Comic Con, correct?
Absolutely.
Yep. All right. Any directly after that you want to plug, or is that it?
DragonCon shortly after.
We're trying to decide if we're going to make our way to Canada, which makes us nervous because of the people who...
Canada's freaking out, and it's freaking us out.
Yeah. That might be a cross your fingers, cross your toes scenario.
Yeah. Well, I'm even considering not going on principle.
Right. We love Fan Expo. It's nothing against Fan Expo. It's just against Canada arresting people.
Borders be borders.
Yeah. Borders.
Yeah. So there you go.
All right. Well, guys. Yeah. Thank you kindly for joining us here on CT. I'll see you guys at Otakon. I'm sure we'll talk more there. I might even bring the recorder if we feel like bullshitting on Thursday. But
that'd be great.
Either way, enjoy your gaming, and we'll talk to you soon.
Excellent. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
All right. No problem. Take care, guys.
You too.
Thank you. See ya.
All right.
And one more time, sponsored by DCBS, that discount comic book service. And as opposed to listing all of the things that you already know, such as our picks as you listen to this episode all the way through, I'm just going to mention some things real quick that are up for discount on the site. BPRD, Hell on Earth, Russia number 1 is 50% off for $1.75. Brand new Star Trek ongoing series out of IDW is 50% off for $1.99. We have the Omnibus of Teen Titans by Jeff Johns, 40% off for $45. Casanova has a new miniseries. Warlord of Mars trade paperback is 50% off. Whole bunch of stuff is still there. You can get your late orders in until the site has been updated for August. So if you have not put your order in, go ahead and do so right now. And make sure to use the promo code CT8 when you do, if this is your first time using DCBS, and you'll get an additional 8% off on your first order with Discount Comic Book Service. They're the best place to get your comic books, all bagged and boarded if you want them for a little extra, and as many times a month as you want your comics, they will be there. If you want them once a month, you can go ahead and pay that once a month shipping cost. If you want them twice monthly, a little bit extra. If you want them four times a month because you just cannot wait, you can go ahead and do that too. DCBService.com, they're damn good. Try them.
Okay, so that was Adam Withers in Comfort and Love. Yeah, I mean, hey, being up for Harvey Awards, even when you weren't expecting it at all, is a pretty damn good feat, I must say so.
You know, terrific material. It was one of those things where I expected to enjoy it. I didn't expect to be, like, blown away and glued to it. I mean, it really moved fast. And I mean that in a complimentary way, in the sense that I just kept wanting to turn page after page after page. Mm-hmm. And it really drew me into the world. Very cool.
Well, obviously, the reason you like Rainbow in the Dark is because Chris and I edited it. That's got to be it.
There you go.
No, we had nothing to do with it except for the editing. All right? We didn't change much. All right. I think we can wrap this one up here. Listen to the episode before this, which I, again, intentionally delayed. This was an actual intentional delay because I just wanted to see just how wrong we were when we talked about the DC relaunch before all the news came out, because I thought it would be hilarious. So you can either tell me I'm an idiot, or you can tell me that it's great to see what talking about something before we should can do. Because we had most of the news at the time, but some things changed after that. And Brent, I hope you don't mind that I did that.
No.
You sure? Because you were like, yeah, we can get this out fast so that Wood won't yell at us.
Yeah, that's always the joke, though.
Yeah.
I think we said that in our movie episode, and then it was just got wrapped up in whatever was going on.
I think my favorite part was the DCBS ad for like books that were 2 months old.
Yeah, well, we're like 5 months behind on reviewing stuff.
So. I know. We'll put out a truncated review corner sometime in the near future to wrap up all that.
Won't be truncated. The reviews will be truncated. It'll still be long.
Yes. I'm trying to think. Is there anything I should plug right now? Well, obviously, we're about to record a Raging Bullets directly after this. What episode do you think that'll be, Sean?
That'll be our very next one. So it'll be 265, I believe.
265. Okay, cool. Well, hey, the email address continues to be comictiming@gmail.com. And you can check us out at comictiming.net, the newly shortened website address. And I even got a vanity Facebook URL finally at facebook.com/comictiming. So, that if you can't possibly find us on Facebook now, then you have no excuse. You obviously can't spell because it's just Comic Timing, people. I mean, come on, it's freaking easy. You don't have to worry about typing in a long URL anymore or like random numbers for Facebook. So you're good, all right? I've made it easy for you. Find us. You can check us out at the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. And we're on the forums, of course, the comicforums.com, graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. And the League Comic Book Podcast over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Sean, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. I unfriended you on Facebook, though, because all the vanity.
Oh, that's fine.
I'm kidding. That's great that you guys got the...
I'm shocked that Comic Timing wasn't taken by now, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's just a phrase you think would go pretty easy. And, Brent, thanks for unfriending me, too.
What?
I kid. Thanks for joining us, as always, Mr. Co-host. With the mostest. And as always, there's always time for comics. Oh, and thanks, Adam and Comfort. Wow, that was the most awkward ending I've ever done. Okay. and major props to Adam Withers and Comfort Love for being on the show. UniquesComics.com and RainbowToDarkComics.com. Okay, good. I'll insert that. All right.
I loved when you were thanking Brent and you heard crickets.
I'm used to that by now. He doesn't take praise very well. I know. You guys get the special privilege of being on a 45 episode of Comic Timing. Because it's about a half hour long, so I don't know if it's quite worthy of a full episode. And I'm getting a phone call. Isn't that lovely? Hold on one second. Christ on a bike. How professional is this?
Hello, cool Ian over there.
Ignore button. Come on. Kind of busy.
It's all right.
Not too much. It's kind of busy right now.
Our computer went off too, like the background stuff.
I think he's ordering drinks on the phone. That's pretty cool.
Who are you talking to?
Did you just order 7 and 7?
Well, at least that was worth it. I'm getting a haircut tomorrow. Okay, all right. One more time.
Wait, did you order a haircut over the phone?
Yes, I did.
Wow, one extra haircut.
Same dude who's been cutting my hair since I was like 5 years old. So, yeah. He's kind of like an honorary member of the family at this point.
I guess.
Yeah. All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.